This week in Parsha B'Shalach, which stands for the words that begin this Torah reading, when Pharaoh had sent the people free, and this week we read about leaving what's familiar and comfortable, embarking on a journey into the unknown, a familiar theme of myth, folklore, religions, literature, everyone's personal story. We leave our parents and our childhood home. We leave behind old belief systems that constrain us. Adam and Eve leave paradise. Abraham, Sarah, Rebecca, Jacob, Esau, Leah, Rachel, Joseph, and of course, Moses, all have to leave their homes and make long and difficult journeys as an essential part of their development. Not to mention the Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, Ulysses, the Lion King, and every one of us. We all have to leave behind the familiar and wander in the wilderness in order to see ourselves and the world with a new clarity, in order to see the truths that have been hidden from us in plain sight. Each Shabbat, as we begin Shabbat this evening, each Shabbat is itself a necessary leave-taking from the constrictions and tasks of the week. But as soon as we approach these deep waters of uncharted territory, we may find ourselves terrified to step in. Panic overtakes us. When the thinking mind is driven by the emotional motor of fear, we imagine the worst. We see what we imagine rather than what is actually there in this moment. Rather than turning to the present circumstances and responding as skillfully as possible, taking action informed by wise understanding and intuitive responsiveness to things as they actually are in this moment. So, I will call on Rabbi Alan Liu's wonderful interpretation of the passage in Torah that we read this week from B'Shalach. And the particular passage that he translates and interprets for us begins in chapter 12, in chapter 14, I'll start with verse 12. Which is when the people complain for the first of many times. And in verse 11, they say to Moses, "Was it for want of graves in Egypt that you brought us to die in the wilderness? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Saying, 'Let us be, we'll serve the Egyptians, for it's better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness.'" But Moses responds to the people, "Al tira'u, have no fear. Hit yatzvu, pull yourselves together, stand by, and uru, see clearly. Witness the deliverance which Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh will work for you today." And Moses says, "For Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh will battle for you. Hold your peace, ta'arushun." And then, after Moses says this, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh says to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me?" He says to Moses and to the people, "Why do you cry out to me? tell the Israelites to go forward. So the Yisa'u, go forward. So Alan Liu interprets the passage in this way, and I will read different quotes from his book, Be Still and Get Going. First of all, Moses says, don't be afraid, meaning not so much don't feel afraid, that can't be helped, but rather don't act on your fear, don't panic, don't go running around after your fear, because chances are you are running after a phantom. And then he quotes a passage that's often the subject of commentary. In one sentence, it says that the Egyptians, the plural Egyptians, pursued the children of Egypt, both verb and subject in the plural. Two sentences later, it says that Egypt ran after Israel, both subject and verb in the singular. So, of course, the commentators wonder, why does the Torah shift from plural to singular? And Rabbi Liu's response is that the Israelites saw not the Egyptians themselves in the plural, but the spirit of the spirit of Egypt in the singular. They saw their idea of Egypt. They saw the Egypt in which they had cowered as slaves for 400 years, in which they were abused and outnumbered. In other words, they saw their fear of Egypt. So the Al Tira'u does not mean stop being afraid, but really to recognize that, and I think we can probably relate to some experience in which our fear of something that we had to deal with was so great, and then as soon as we actually focused on dealing with it, we were in a different place, a different state of mind. So it's recognizing the shift into that panic-stricken state of mind that can paralyze us and keep us from moving forward. So, Al Tira'u, the first step, don't spend your life fleeing phantoms, trying to escape things you only imagine you need to escape. Now, the second step is Hit Yatzvu. Pull yourself together, take a stand, collect yourself, constitute yourself, bring your awareness in from all the corners of your mind where it is usually scattered. This word is derived, Rabbi Liu says, etymologically from a Ugaritic word for construction, building, in the sense of gathering materials together, concentrating them in a single place, and then standing them up. When we sit down to meditate, the first thing we notice is that our awareness is scattered in a thousand places. Our mind is unfocused, flung all over the place, full of anxiety, anger, every other conceivable emotional impulse. Hit Yatzvu corresponds to the inhale when we follow the momentum of the in-breath and bring our awareness in from everywhere where it's been scattered. It's the first step after Al Tira'u. And Al Tira'u corresponds to the exhale, when we breathe out and let go of everything we're holding on to that is imagined. Of course, we do have real fears, and we will certainly, fears about real things, and we will certainly address that as well. So the consequence of this standing firm, standing with what is happening, is that we begin to see our experience as it really is, rather than as we have imagined it to be. Rabbi Liu continues, the nightmare that has held us in its thrall begins to dissipate as we stare it down and see the experience as it actually emerges. So the third of the five steps after Al Tira'u and Hit Yatzvu is Uru, seeing. When we stop running around after our imagination, we begin to see our experience as it really is. Breathing out, we let go of the world we imagined. Breathing in, the life we actually inhabit begins to take shape. So we've recognized the fears that scatter us. We've pulled ourselves together. We see more clearly. And the fourth step is Taharishun, be still. Stillness, says Rabbi Lu, is both the cause and the product of this kind of vision. When we stand still and stop running away from our phantoms, we acquire the capacity to see the world as it is. And the act of seeing the world as it is brings a deep stillness in its wake. First, there is the standing still, an action that we take, just like we sit still, as we took our seats this morning. And then there is the being still, the state of being that comes over us as a consequence of our action. This second stillness, the state of being rather than the action, comes about both because we are no longer reacting to imaginary fears, and because there is something about being present, about seeing the world as it is, that produces a stillness on its own. This stillness becomes the field of our salvation. We know we must do something, and we have no idea what to do, but when we reach this point of deep stillness, the next act seems to rise up of its own accord. That is why it is significant that while Moses utters the first four instructions of our five-step program, God utters the fifth, Vayisa'u, just get going, go forward. Okay. So you may recognize that these five steps are condensed into the two-step program that is the title of Rabbi Lu's book, Be Still and Get Going. First is finding that stillness within each of us that is beneath the choppy waters on the surface, deep within us, that stillness. And then get going in the direction informed by the clarity that emerges when our minds are not so clouded by terror. That is the settling feeling that we have when we finally engage in the work we need to do to address the things we're afraid of. Surely there are moments in our own lives today, on a personal level, on a community level, on a national and international level, in which we are seized with fear and the paralysis of not knowing how to move forward. Perhaps as we read and discuss these words from Parsha B'Shalach, we recognize that this fear was shared by our forebears, that it's part of the human condition. It's part of having a human mind that can think and imagine. Which is why we return again and again to this practice in which we learn and relearn how to live with our human minds without being driven crazy.